hate getting choked right as I'm getting up to speak, so I had to take off, get a bottle of water. I'm glad there was some back there. How many of you remember Elvis Presley? Well, of course you remember Elvis Presley, but how many remember the song he used to sing, I've Got Confidence? Andre Ware, I think, was the name of the person that actually made that song famous. But Elvis made a rendition of that that was pretty popular, and it goes, I've got confidence, God is going to see me through, no matter what the case may be, I know he's going to make it, fix it for me. Remember that? I know you remember that, Danny. I know you've heard, you never heard that song? Maybe it wasn't that popular, but it does sound somewhat familiar. Well, the thing of it is, we need to have confidence in God. Without having would you go to a doctor you didn't trust? Would you use an auto mechanic that you didn't have any confidence in? You know, we have to have confidence in God if we're going to depend upon Him. If we have any hope that heaven is going to be our home, we have to trust in the Lord. Trust in Him with all our hearts. People have their own logic about living the Christian life, their own way of looking at things. We want things to go well, but sometimes they don't. And we can live with that when things don't go well as long as we feel like we're being treated fairly. Does that make sense? I mean, that's our normal reaction. As long as I feel like things are going, that I'm being treated fairly. You know, I can see. If you were here last Wednesday night and you heard Harold McInnes talk about Job, man, I could just see what Job was going through. Harold did a great job, just a good old country preacher. But man, he did a great job painting this picture of what Job went through. Lost everything, and it was not fair. He had done nothing to deserve it. And so many times, things will happen. You'll be wrongly accused of something. Now, if you are an only child and the lamp got broke, you did it. Okay? But if there are more than one, if there's more than one child in the house and the lamp got broke, maybe you did it, maybe you didn't do it. And you might have got accused for it when it wasn't your fault. And you know how that felt, if that ever happened to you. You know how that felt. And if you've ever been accused of something that you didn't do, you know how that felt. People want to feel like we're being treated fair. And we want to understand why. We act right. We treat people right. We live right before the Lord, and we want things to be fair. Our sense of fair. But that's the problem. See, that's the problem. Why do I get to define what's fair? Don't children say, how many of you have never heard a child say, but that's not fair? If you've never heard that, you've never been around children, okay? Because children will say that. That's not fair. That's by your definition of fair. So we have to look at God's definition of what's fair, don't we? We do. And we want to understand. We do. Do you remember, some of you will remember Ken Hanna's niece, Shelby. Little Shelby. This is Carrie and Jay Amerson's daughter. Shelby was here back when I was, well, that family was here with us when I was preaching here the first time. And they're now members at Farley, where Mark and Stephanie Little are. They moved over that area, and so they're faithful in members over there at Farley. I saw them over there just recently. And Shelby's about to turn 17. She was a little girl. Little bitty girl here. And this happened right here. It was Sunday morning, and Carrie had given her a quarter to put in the collection plate. And so she sat patiently and waited as the Lord's Supper trays passed by. She just sat still and watched and didn't do anything. Conducted herself like a perfect little lady. Held on to that quarter and waited. And then when the collection tray came past, Mommy said, Carrie said, put the quarter in. And Shelby looked up at her mommy and said, why? I didn't eat any. True story. That happened right here. I didn't eat any. We want to understand. And she obviously didn't understand. And there's many things that we don't understand. And that's just the way it is. So here's the scene tonight. I want to paint this scene for you. And I want you to put yourself in this scene. Your time has come at last. Old or young, ready or not, death will be here for you in just a little while. Fear of death? Certainly. That's a natural thing. That's normal to fear. If I was fixing to have to jump out of an airplane, I'd be afraid. Okay? Jump out of a perfectly good airplane. That makes no sense. Parachute or not, I'd be afraid. Death is a new thing. None of us have experienced it. We've witnessed. You may have been in the room when someone died. And each death is different. Each death is unique because it's that individual's death. It's not yours. But it's just your own death. Yeah, that's a thing that causes fear. It's certainly going to be there. Don't even pretend that you won't be afraid, because you will be. It's a new thing. It's not a matter of lack of faith. It's not a matter of failing to trust in God. It's simply a normal reaction, a normal response to something we've never experienced. Death. Elijah got his first haircut this last week. He sat there like a perfect little gentleman. I remember my brother John getting his first haircut. He screamed like a banshee. He thought it was going to hurt. Okay? People react differently. They have their different idea of what it's going to be like. Death, no different. We're going to be afraid, that's certain. But the question is, are you ready? Do you have confidence that you're going to be okay? That you're going to be with God? Do you have confidence of that? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Having confidence. Turn to the book of Colossians. When we think of confidence, normally we think of 1 John. But I found something in my studies in preparing for this lesson that just amazed me. I've read this all my life. I never saw it until this week. Confidence in God. Colossians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, written to Christians. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God. We pray always for you since we heard of your faith. And this faith and love which you have toward all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you and is in all the world, and brings forth fruit. The gospel has come to the people of Colossae, and it has brought forth fruit. Now, what is the fruit of the gospel? Christians. And we think of bearing fruit as bringing others to Christ, and that certainly is included in that. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that's not new Christians. That is growth in ourselves, and that's the fruit of the gospel that is under discussion right here. The growth of these Colossian brethren. They have grown in their understanding of the truth. The gospel has come to them. It has brought forth fruit. It doth, and as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And again, an emphasis on truth here. When we talk about the Word of God, we're not talking about matters of opinion. We're not talking about your judgment, my judgment, your sense of fair play or my sense, your understanding or my understanding. We're talking about the pure truth. The truth that will make you free. The real truth. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He has given His Word, His will by which we're to live. That's the truth that is being talked about here. And Paul says to these Colossian brethren, and you knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 9. We desire, we pray for you and desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, we're going right back to the same thing. It's all about confidence. How to have this confidence that's in Christ. That you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Comprehending it. Not something that's so far over your head. You start talking to me about physics or calculus or you know, some of these machines that we have, an iPad or something. You start talking to me about all these things, and a lot of it's just going to blow right over my head. I don't have, Mick will talk to me sometimes, and I don't have a clue what he's talking about. He even uses words I've never heard of. Because he's talking about things that I don't really understand. Brethren, this spiritual understanding is an understanding of the Word of God, an understanding of the will of God. And this is where this confidence is going to come from. He goes on to say, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This is the result of this knowledge, this wisdom, this spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, more knowledge. You know something, that makes room to know something more. I have read some science fiction novels in my youth about apocalypse, where our culture gets destroyed. And the only way to rebuild it is a piece at a time. And you may go to you may find a library intact. It's got all the manuals and the technical know-how, but you're not going to start off by building a nuclear reactor. You're not going to be able to start off by building some supersonic jet. You're going to have to find a way to build a fire first. You're going to have to find a way to smelt metal, to be able to grow vegetables and crops. You're going to have to start at the beginning and build it. Nobody invented a computer without the inventions that came before it. It was a process of building. And the more we know, the more room there is for us to know more. Does that make sense? One of my teachers used to say, the more you know you don't know. And I want you to think about that a minute. There's always room to learn more. And so he says that you grow, that you be filled with knowledge of His will and wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you can increase in the knowledge of God. And then verse 11, he says, strengthened with all His might. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father that has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance. God has changed us. He has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of light. He has taken us from the law of sin and death and included us in the perfect law of liberty. God is allowing us to live wearing His name, being called Christians, being called children of God, the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. He has taken us out of the mire of sin and death and has given us new life. And brothers and sisters, if we will learn God's will and be filled with it and filled with wisdom and understanding, the ability to comprehend it, to interpret it correctly, and to move on to even greater knowledge, we're going to have confidence. That's what verse 13 and 14 talks about. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. For by Him were all things created, verse 16, verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, verse 17. Verse 22, we've been reconciled. We've now been reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unremovable, unreprovable in His sight. To present you to whom? To His Father. We are the bride of Christ. And on that great day, the great and glorious homecoming, we are going to be presented to God as a bride without spot, without blemish, unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23 is the killer. This is the catch. There's always a catch, isn't there? And it's a good catch. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. The problem with the doctrine of once saved, always saved is it removes the word if from everything. It takes the word if out altogether. You don't have an if. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It's gone. That's the problem of this doctrine. It is possible for a child of God to fall from grace if they do not continue in the faith. If they turn their back on God and walk away, like the prodigal did from his father, they're not going to continue in the faith. They're not going to be confident. And here's where we have to face the reality. God wants us in heaven, but he places our salvation on the condition of if. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled. I know Paul said ye. I'm translating this we, talking to us. Us, the church at Tanner. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard, which was preached to every creature. Moving on to verse 27. God would make known, again, this knowledge, what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This hope, this confidence, this assurance of salvation that we're talking about. In chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says in verse 1, I wish you understood the struggle that I am going through to try and help you to be what God wants you to be, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Understanding is the key to having this assurance. It's the key to having confidence. Uncertainty, doubt, confusion. Listen, if a person is lying on their deathbed and they have no idea what's coming, they're going to be terrified. Terrified. And while there will be fear for any Christian that's facing death, if you have an understanding of the will of God, if you understand His Word, the truth, if you've lived your life by that truth, if you've been guided and directed by that truth, if you have submitted to the truth, then as you're lying there breathing your last breaths upon this earth, you can pass from this life with a confidence that the confused, the uninformed, those that lack understanding cannot possibly have. You can pass from this life with a peace that passes all understanding. Now, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The more you understand, the more thankful you're going to be. The more you understand, the happier you're going to be. The more you understand, the more hope you're going to have. The better you understand the will of God, the more confidence you're going to have that heaven is going to be your home. Not because you got it all just right, got all your spiritual ducks in a row, so to speak. Not because of that. Not because your preacher and your elders led you the right way. Not because you've got your family around you and you're able to pass in peace with your family and their love. No, no, none of this, none of this. You will pass from this life with confidence, with full assurance, because your faith is based not on a blind trust, but on evidence, upon truth, upon an understanding of God's Word that the uninformed cannot possibly have, cannot possibly comprehend. You will be able to have peace in your passing if you have this knowledge. How do you get it? Well, that's the rub, as the saying goes. The only way to get it is to pick it up and open it and read it. Be it on a digital computer type device, or be it on a scroll, or be it in a tape playing in your ears, or be it in a good old-fashioned Bible that's being held together by duct tape, that's been used to share the gospel with many people. You got to open the book to get this confidence. And some of you have not been studying this. Why do you think we do this right here? Do we do this right here to embarrass people? By the way, it was 31 today. Do we do this to embarrass people? No. Not at all. Here's your Bible back, brother. We don't do that to embarrass anybody. And we don't want people to raise their hand just so they don't look bad. That's not it at all. But the more you get in the habit of reading your Bible, the more you spend time studying God's Word, the more understanding you're going to get. Somebody says, I really don't know how to study. Well, let me tell you something. It's easy to learn. You just pick it up and start reading it first and get familiar with it. And the more familiar you are with your Bible, you'll be amazed how much easier it is to understand it. If it's a book of mystery and a book of, you know, I don't know where it's on this page or that page, then certainly you're not going to understand. But the more you read it, the more you're going to understand it. Folks, this is not rocket science. This is simple common sense. If you read the Bible and you read it a lot, you're going to come to a better understanding of God. Your faith is going to grow. And the confidence that you're going to have when you lie on your last bed on this earth is going to be enormous and so much more than what you have even right now. So my encouragement to you is get on with it. Don't play. Don't goof off. Don't make excuses. Don't give some reason. There is no reason good enough not to understand God, as far as what He wants us to know about Him and His Son, His Spirit, His church, His life, His work, His will. No excuse is good enough. No reason is good enough. Pick up that Bible and study it. You'll be amazed what you will learn. You will become the person that God wants you to be. And you can have confidence when you lay down your head at night, or when you lay your head down for the last time. You can have confidence that heaven is going to be your home. If you're not a Christian, there is no better time than right now to dedicate your life to the service of God. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then please repent. Turn away from sin and commit your life to the service of the Lord. Confess the sweet name of Jesus and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, at which point God will raise you up out of that water to walk in newness of life. Old things passed away, all things become new. You are a new creature in Christ, a child of God at that moment. If you've not done that, you need to do it. Having done that, if you've not been faithful to your Lord, you've not been serious about it, you don't have confidence, you don't have any real strong hope that when you breathe your last breath, you're going to be with God. If you don't have that hope, it's time to begin the process of having that kind of peace that passes all understanding, that kind of hope that will sustain you through the fiery trials of life, through the disappointments and the setbacks and the times when there's just no way that you could understand all that's going on, but you will know who's in charge. You'll have confidence in God. If you're not a Christian or if you're not ready to meet the Lord today, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.